Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages. What I want you to do is I want you to quickly grab three people in your vicinity, ideally people you don't know that well, and make a circle of four. No more than four people in a group. If you end up being three people in a group, that's fine, but no more than four. Find a couple of people around you, especially those that you don't know. Grab a circle and sit down. Grab a circle and sit down. Jenny, you can join here with these two. You can move the chairs around if you like. No more than four people, three or four. That'll be awesome. And then you can take your seats, please. Okay, and then for a moment, just position yourself that you can see me, because I don't want you to get a stiff neck from looking around or over your shoulder the whole time. I'm just going to take a few moments to explain one or two things, and then we're going to run. Is that right? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, what more can we say other than we love you? And we know you love us, and therefore, Lord God, we can just come with great boldness into your presence. And I pray, Lord God, that in very simple ways, but yet powerful ways today, that you'll empower us and use us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask this question. How many of you have already received a significant prophetic word this morning? Okay. We're not lying. I honestly want to know. Okay. How many of you have prophesied for the first time in your life today? Already? And that hasn't even started yet. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So I want us to just highlight four things very quickly and very briefly. Number one is prophecy is always the words of God. Would you agree? It can't be anyone else's words. It can't be my words. It has to be God's words. And you know that the second thing is it has to involve and encapsulate God's ways, his heart. So for example, if I come to my wife, I would suppose the good words to use is I love you. It's a safe line. Would you agree? But did you know that there's many different ways in which I can say I love you? If we've in a moment of play and laughter, I'll say I love you completely different to when we maybe have had a great loss or a great hardship. It's the same words, but completely different ways. And with God, often it's the same thing. So he might use specific words, but he has complete different meanings that in a sense encapsulate those words or in a sense are deposited through those words. So when we prophesy, it's very important that we not only have his words, but also his ways. We have to allow him to come and change and adjust our hearts so that our hearts will express even more than the words. You know that at times we say much, much more than the words that we say. And that is very important in prophecy. Prophecy is not about the words. And often what we do is we are so caught up in, I have to get the words right, I have to get da-da-da, that we miss actually the heart of what God is saying. And I want to say this. If your heart is right, the words are not that important. When our hearts are aligned with what God is doing, even if I stumble and fall over my words, it's all right. Because the heart is the thing that brings the impartation or the deposit that God is doing. So it has to be the words of God. It has to be the ways of God. And then thirdly, it has to be the who of God. It has to be the right person. It has to be the right address. So let me just use an example of a married couple in the room. So here's Conrad, a good friend of mine, and here's his wife, Annalie. So if I go to Annalie and I look deep into her eyes and I have all the most beautiful ways of telling her how much I love her and my heart comes and sings along with those beautiful words, I'm telling you, I've got trouble. I mean, Conrad's going to be all over me like chicken pox. I have to have the words, the ways, but also the who. If I have the wrong who, it's not going to be helpful. And then lastly, it's the when. So it's the four W's, the words, the ways, the who, and the when. I remember there was a time some time ago when I woke up early morning, and you're in between the sleep and wake stage. Have you ever been there? I find myself there fairly regularly these days. But in that moment, I had a clear picture of a friend of mine, and I had a clear understanding of what God was saying to him. And I got up. I was so excited to do that. I grabbed my phone and I thought, maybe it's a little bit early. Let me have a coffee or two first. And I had a few coffees and then I thought, okay, now's a good time to phone him. And as I'm about to phone him, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, what are you doing? I'm like, Lord, you showed me this picture. Obviously, it's something for my friend. And God said, yes, it is, but now is not the time. And I said, okay, cool, I'll hold on to that. So what happened is, for the next couple of days, on and off at different times, God would remind me of it, and I would wrestle it through with him, and he would add some stuff, he'll take some stuff away, and we would journey together around this picture that God had shown me. And then one afternoon, in the middle of a hectic, all of the other stuff that was happening in my life, I felt God say to me, now is the time. I'm like, God, what time? And he says, now is the time for you to phone your friend. So I grabbed my phone, and I excused myself out of the situation, and I phoned him in that moment. And he said, hey, you're a lucky man. I'm like, why? He says, this is probably the only 5 minutes in the whole day that you could have gotten hold of me because I'm in between connecting flights. I'm like, oh, wow. And I said to him, well, while I've got you on the phone, I feel God is saying ABC. Dead quiet on the other side of the phone. I thought, oh, my word. Lord, help me. And he said to me, you don't know what you just did. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you've just kept me from possibly making one of the biggest mistakes of my life. And if you'd phone any other time than right now, we would have missed it. Friends, the timing of God is as important as anything else. But please understand that because we're in a workshop environment, that settles the when. It's now. Okay. The when is now. But as you and I grow in what God has for us, the when will become a reality for us. Because there's times in worship, there's times in church that we might feel something, but it might not be the now. It might be for after church. It might be for another time. Okay. But we're not going to be able to practice that now. But for the moment, we're going to practice the words of God, the heart of God, the ways, and the who of God. Is that right? Okay. Quickly. I want you to find anything in the auditorium or in your handbags, ladies. I'm sure you've got lots of stuff there. And what I want you to do, I want you to take it, and I want you to put it in the middle of your group. Anything. Keys. Keep it creative, anything that is out of the ordinary. So don't put a water bottle there. Anything that's a little bit different, and I want you to put it in the middle of the group. Now, don't make it difficult. Anything is good enough. Because I know some of you are about to embark on the trek of a lifetime. Okay. So let me see what you guys have got. You've got a lanyard, an apple, and a jacket. Is that a jacket? Tablecloth. Okay, interesting. Okay, that's interesting. That's great. You guys have got, get something. Yeah, that's good. Okay, iPad and a bag. Oh, that's interesting. That's great. What have you got there in your group? Show me. What have you got? A Nachi, glasses, and some keys. Okay, that's cool. Pretzels are good. That's great. What have you got, ladies got? Okay, brilliant. Okay. Good. You guys, that's great. What have you guys got there? A wallet and a passport and some keys. Brilliant. Okay, and you ladies, what have you got? Okay. Lots of stuff. That's great. Oh, I like that. What have you guys got? Awesome. Okay, cool. Now, you know, the amazing thing is I asked you guys to get one thing in the circle, and everyone's got like 20 things, but that's fine. I love the excitement in the room. Yeah, there's abundance in the house. Okay, that's fine. I'm happy with that. So, you know, there's an amazing thing in Scripture. There's four times where God would ask the prophets, what do you see? So God speaks to Jeremiah, Amos, Zechariah, and one more other guy. Can't recall his name. He says, what do you see? And they would then come with a response. And you know the amazing thing is not once did God correct them. I want you to see that clearly. Not once did God say, you know, actually, I was hoping you would see something else. Every time God said, okay, cool. Because I want us to understand something, friends. There was a moment when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000. And then he tested his disciples. He said, hey guys, let's feed these guys quickly. And most of them said, God, it's impossible. We don't have what it takes to do this. But one of them came and said, well, we have a little boy's lunchbox. And I mean, think about this. I think the other disciples looked at Andrew and said, are you kidding me? You want to take this boy's lunchbox, which is his lunchbox, and you want to feed 5,000 people with this little bit that you have. The truth is that it's not about what you have. It's about the bigness of our Father. And in prophecy, it's exactly the same thing. God says, well, what do you see? And you can say, well, I see a tablecloth, Lord. And he says, cool. We have something to work with. You cannot miss what you see. I want us to understand that because it's not about what you have. It's about the bigness of what God has. So a friend of mine goes and he drives through Potchefstroom on the way to Joburg. And he stops at the McDonald's. And he gets out of his car and he walks through the door. And as he's about to walk through the door, two street kids, two boys, catch him by the door. And they say to him, sir, we're hungry. He says to them, okay, you wait right here. I'll buy each of you a burger. Don't go anywhere, just stay right here. So he goes in and he orders three burgers, one for himself and one for each of the boys. He gets outside. Guess what he finds? 28 boys. Quite a conundrum. So he thought to himself, you know what, I promised these two boys each a burger. So he puts his hand into his little packet with the three burgers, and he takes out a burger for the one boy, takes out a burger for the second boy, and he thought to himself, you know what, I can actually do without my burger. He puts his hand down into the packet. 28 burgers later. 28 burgers later, he looks down into the packet, and his own burger is still at the bottom. Friends, I want you and me to understand that when it comes to prophecy, it is never about the little bit that you have. Never. It is always about the bigness of our Father. Which means that if you and I come and say, Lord, well, I don't see much, but I have a watch here. He's going to say, good. It's good enough. It's more than enough. And the amazing thing is that in that moment when Jesus fed the 5,000, we think he took the five loaves and the two fish, he lifted up to the Father and he said, thank you, God, for what we're about to eat. And the next moment, he's under a mountain of bread. Do you know that that's not what happened? Let me tell you something. When he said thank you, he lifted down. I don't know how you lift down. But he brought his hands down with the five loaves and two fish. Guess what? It was still just five loaves and two fish. You ever thought about that? And then he would say to his disciples, listen guys, you've already thanked the Father for this little bit that we have. Now let's take this and give out of what we don't have. And he starts giving to his disciples, and they go to groups of 50 and 100, and they come and they give. And as they gave in their hands, it multiplied. It didn't multiply beforehand. It applied within their hands. Our prophecy is exactly the same thing. God is not going to give you this download, and then you're going to share that download. It doesn't happen like that. Well, maybe if it happens for you, praise Jesus. I want you to lay your hands on me and pray for me. But for most of us, friends, I want to tell you, for most of us, God says, well, here's a little bit. And as you share it, he multiplies it in your hands. So please repeat after me. I will not get super spiritual. If I do, slap me. Now, friends, I say this with great love. Please hear my heart. The moment you try and become spiritual, you're making an obstacle for yourself that is going to be impossible for you to cross over when it comes to these things. And let me tell you why. Because if we make it super spiritual, we take what God wants to do and we put it in the box of the church. And even there, it's difficult. But if we keep this thing natural and allow God to break in and make it supernatural, it's for everywhere. How many of you know that if I bump into someone at the supermarket and God is wanting to speak to them and I come and I change my voice, I change my approach and I say, oh, I feel the Spirit is here. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Lord is saying, I'm telling you, when you open your eyes, they are gone. You speaking to the shelf again. But if you and I have a heart that is so based in the here and the now, and we can then take this thing and that God is showing us, and we can engage with Him on that, I'm telling you, God's going to break into your life, and your life is going to have the fruit of kingdom. And that's what we're all about. We want us to simplify this thing and cut away all the super spiritual fluff, because I'm telling you, it's not helpful for you to grow in this gift. I'm not saying the Spirit is void. We actually desperately need the Spirit. But if we're going to now and try and make it super spiritual, we're going to break the context of what God wants to use us in. It has to be a natural thing. God breaks in and He makes it supernatural. Is that right? Okay. So let me just check before we get into the exercise. Is there anyone here that cannot see? Okay, so you all can see. Okay, so let me give you an example. Throw me that apple. So in your group, you're going to take the objects that's there and you're going to tell people what you see. Now please, I don't see the Lord. I say this with love, friends. Please hear my heart. I don't see the Lord. It's an apple. So I see an apple, and the apple has got green and red and stuff. Okay. I don't want you to get spiritual on me. I want you to keep it simple. I want you to keep it basic. What you see is what you see. You can't see other things that's not here. Is that all right? Okay. So I'm going to do a very, very simple exercise with you. What I want you to do now, just in short, and please, ladies, don't use up your whole vocabulary this morning. Keep it short and tight. What I want you to do, I want you to tell everyone else in your group what it is that you see. And you can't see the Lord. If He's here, we'll all see Him. And I know He's here. Please don't not hear what I'm saying. I'm just saying we're going to just make a simple observation, a natural observation of what's in our group. Is that right? Okay. You have 2 minutes. Make an observation. Pause you there for a second, if I can have your attention. You're not seeing anything for anyone, because that's impossible. You're simply making observation of what's there. You cannot see anything that's not there. If you can't touch it, you can't see it. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're just going to make simple observations of the things that we see. And the beauty of the circle is that someone on this side of the circle might have a different perspective to someone sitting on this side of the circle. And we're going to share that. Okay, go for it. Pause you there again if I can. You're not allowed to share any memories or possibilities out of what it is that you see. Everyone pause. Dead quiet. I want all of your attention. All of your attention. No one speaks. Okay, what you see has got nothing to do with your history, your reference, or the possibilities of what you see. We're only making simple, natural observations of what it is that we see. If I have a wallet in my hand, I see a wallet. I don't see what it used to do. I don't see what it's used for. I don't see any application. I see a wallet. If I see a key, I see the key. I don't see what the key is used for. You with me? Because then we're not making natural observations anymore. I want us to stay as simple and as strictly as we possibly can to the basics. Okay. Only what you see, make an observation. And then what you can do is you can pass it around, because there might be some small print on the stuff made in China or whatever that you still can see, you can still can touch, but it's got nothing more than the physical attached to that. So, right. Make some more observations. Go for it. Okay. Everyone pause. Have you done that? Was that easy or was that easy? Is there anyone that struggled to see what they saw? I'm naughty, aren't I? Friends, I want you to understand how simple this thing is. Because again, it's not about what you have. It is always about God, what God can do with what you have. The focus is not on you and me. The focus is on Him. It's a safe space to be. Okay. So what I want you to do now, without getting spiritual again, I want you now to say, well, when you mentioned the apple, I actually got hungry. Or when you mentioned the apple, I think of this oak who had an apple fall on his head and he discovered gravity, Newton. Or, hey, the apple made me think of this other oak who shot the apple through, or the arrow through the apple on his boy's head, William Tell or whatever. Who was that oak? Something like that. So anything that jogs your memory. Anything that you might, that thing might trigger for you as a memory or a thought or an experience. Don't get spiritual on me. Okay. So you didn't hear me say anything spiritual about Newton, William Tell, or hunger. I mean, hunger is quite a natural thing. So I'm having the apple when you're done with it. Okay. Is that right? Okay, just in short, ladies, just one sentence, please. Just quickly say what these things may be triggered as a memory or a thought. Let everyone share. Go for it. Okay, everyone done? If you haven't done yet, just lift up your hand so that we know we need to wait for you another minute. Okay, we'll wait another minute. Okay. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult was that? Not even a 1. You with me? It's very easy. Now, the amazing thing is that as someone shared a memory or a trigger, it might trigger some more things with you. Have any of you had that? So as someone tells you a story, like, oh, yeah, I had a similar story and all those beautiful things. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So I want to say something that hopefully is going to change your world. I want you to know that God is very happy with the fact that you're the main ingredient. God is not caught off guard with the fact that you're part of the process. That actually is the very thing that makes his wisdom known to the principalities. He loves the fact that redemption and you are part of the process. And then, as in our fallen, broken state, he comes and redeems that, the enemy stands and says, sure, that's amazing. So please, often what we do is we want to try and remove ourselves out of the process. Oh, less of me, more of you, less of you, more. And friends, I understand the heart of that. And that's good. We want less of ourselves and more of him in our process of sanctification. But I want you to know that God is big enough to work with the brokenness that you carry. God is more than big enough to work with the little that you have and even with the brokenness that you walk in. God is not caught off guard with the fact that you're part of the process. He loves using you. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take all of the observations, all of the different memories, all of the different things that was triggered, all of the things, and we're going to take it and we're going to put it in a bundle. Can you do that quickly in your heart? Do all of that. Put it in a bundle in your heart. You don't have to physically take the stuff. And what I want you to do, I want you to throw it up into the air and then allow some of those things to come and stick to your heart. Not all of it, just some of it. Some of it will come and lay on your heart and say, oh yeah, that thing that was said by that oak, this memory was triggered, yeah. There's some things that God's going to allow to stick to your heart. Just do that quickly. Don't get spiritual on me now. Just take these things, observations and the memories and the triggers, throw it up into the air, and allow just some things to sit on your heart. Have you done that? Okay. Now what I want you to do is I want you to ask Jesus to come and add to that an encouragement, a comfort, or a strengthening that is just threading it all together. Just allow him to thread all these things together with an encouragement, a comfort, or a strengthening. Have you done that? Okay. You just prophesied over your own life. How awesome is that? Isn't that awesome? So if you're comfortable doing it, I want you to share with the group, in short, what God just said to you. Go for it. Just tell them, this is what I saw, this is what I felt, this is what God is saying. Boom. That's how God prophesied over me just now. You all understand the exercise? You all with me? Okay. So this is something that God is saying over you, for yourself. It's not for someone else. It's what God is saying over your own life. Okay. You just prophesied over yourself. One done. Okay. Just your attention quickly. Friends, the character of God is that he wants to speak to us before he speaks through us. That will always be your reality. And what we want to do in our Western culture in particular, we have this performance mindset that God, if you have spoken enough through me, then maybe you can speak to me. It's inverted. When we hear God, when God is speaking to us ongoingly, when we live in that space, it's easy then for him to speak through us. But he has to speak to us first. And I want to say that actually you've just seen how very, very simple and practical this is. There was nothing super spiritual about it. Did you see that? It's very, very simple. Now, how many of you have had a significant prophetic word over your own life just now? Isn't that amazing? That Jesus is sold out over you and he wants to speak to you. And you come and you say, well, Lord, I can't do this. I've only got my little five loaves and two fish. I can't do this. I mean, honestly, I have a name tag apple and a tablecloth. Lord, how is it possible? And he says, well, it's not about what you have. It's about how big I am. And when you and I allow his bigness to interrupt with our smallness, God's alive. Okay. So what I want us to do now, without getting spiritual, I want us to do the same exercise again. I want you to take all of these things. Maybe even now there's some new memories that was triggered. And please, again, we're sticking to the natural. We're sticking to memories. We're sticking to some triggers. And what I want you to do is I want you to take all of these things again. I want you to throw it up into the air. And then I want you to ask God to allow some new things to stick to your heart. Anything. New observations, new triggers, new memories. Just allow that to sit on your heart. And then what you're going to do, I want you to ask Jesus to again just connect those things, thread them together with encouragement, comfort, and strengthening. Do that quickly. Don't get spiritual on me. Keep it simple. You all done that? Okay. Okay, I'll give you another second. Do that. Don't get spiritual on me, because the moment you want to get spiritual, I'm telling you it's impossible. Take a simple observation, a simple trigger, and allow God to connect them with encouragement or comfort or strengthening. Very simple. Very, very simple. Keep it very, very simple. Okay, have you done that? Okay. So what we've done is the observations would be the words. The triggers would be the ways. Now we want to ask God who it's for. In your group, what you just have is for someone in your group. What I want you to do is I want you now to encourage, comfort, or strengthen someone else in your group with what it is that you're feeling. Keep it simple. Go for it. Don't get spiritual on me now. Because now suddenly we know where this is going, so now I want to get spiritual. Don't get spiritual on me. Keep it simple. Okay, I'm giving you one more minute so that you can finish what you're busy with, and then I'm going to ask you to just pause for a second. One more minute. Good, have you all done that? Did everyone get an opportunity to share? And that everyone receives something from someone else. Friends, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult was that? It's easy, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you, if we were trying to get spiritual, it would have been 10 out of 10 difficulty. But if we come with our 2 fish and 5 loaves, God says, let's do this. Then it's easy. You know what the problem is? That most of you are going to leave here and say, it can't be, it's too easy. I'm telling you now, I'm telling you exactly what the enemy is going to tell you. Because he is so uncreative. You're going to leave here and you're going to say, it can't be. These oaks, it can't be. It's all just fake stuff. Friends, I'm telling you, I have seen the hearts change. I've seen the tears. I've seen how God interrupts and intervenes in our lives. This is the real thing. And I want you to understand how simple and how easy it is. And most of you have already been doing it actually for years. Not knowing that God is using you to speak encouragement, comfort, and strength into people's lives through this gift of prophecy. God wants you to want to prophesy. And he is so desperate, in a sense, to get this through that he's going to use simple things like tablecloths and apples. It's not about what we have. It's about the bigness of our Father. So we're going to do one more exercise. Are you ready for this? Okay. So what I want you to do, I want you to take all of your experiences just now, all of your observations, all of the different memories, even new memories that were triggered as people were sharing. I want you to throw it up into the air again. And then I want you to allow God to put some new things on your heart. Do that quickly. Don't get spiritual. Keep it simple and basic. Then I want you to ask Jesus to thread them together again with encouragement, comfort, and strengthening. Okay, have you done that? Okay, now I want you to stand and I want you to look around because now we have to find the who. Okay, you're not going to have the object with you now because you're potentially going to move across the room. But I want you to look around and ask Jesus who this is for. And when you see that person who it's for, don't change your story. Because you might know that person and now you want to change your story because you know. Can I tell you something? God knows better. Even if you know, He knows better. Then I want you, what I want you to do is I want you to go and find that person. And I want you to give them this word of encouragement, strengthening, or comfort that you just felt in your heart. And pray with them a short prayer. Don't get spiritual on me. Keep it simple. Can you do that? You have 5 minutes. Treasure hunt. Okay, so when you're done, you can just take your seat quickly, briefly. Great stuff. Can we take our seats just quickly? Now, friends, there's two obvious things I want to highlight to you that you maybe didn't see. Most of you just prophesied more than what you prophesied this whole year. Isn't that true? And you know why? It's simply because you changed your attitude. That's all it was. Most of you have received more prophetic words now than what you've received this whole year, even if maybe your whole life. Now imagine, just for a moment, imagine what church can be like if we all come with this mindset. Imagine what my household will be like if we live with this mindset. Brushing your teeth, God highlights the toothbrush. You take your toothbrush and you use that to prophesy over your kids. Or you take the ladies, the moisturizer, and use that to prophesy over your man. Imagine how the kingdom will break into our everyday life if we allow God to do this. Now, the beauty of it is that none of us were spiritual now. Am I right when I say that? I'm not assuming anything. You know what? That when you're in the bathroom, you're not spiritual. You know that when you're driving to work, you're not spiritual. You know that when you're sitting in your office, you're not spiritual. You know that whenever you find yourself outside of the church context, you're not spiritual. And that's why we don't see it there, because we think we have to be spiritual for God to use us. Not true. God loves the fact that we can engage with Him with anything, and He can break it in and make it supernatural. You and I have to allow God to give us a new heart that we're not trying to be super spiritual, but that we can be supernatural. I'd like to pray for us, then we're going to have tea. But please don't step out of this thing. It's so simple. It's so easy. And don't believe the lie of the enemy that tells you, that was just a lot of hogwash. I mean, honestly, how can you prophesy with an apple? Well, you can, because God's bigger than what we can think. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. It's incredible, Lord, that You are so big, that You can speak to us through anything. Would You continue to speak to us, Lord? And would You allow us to be just a conduit, a mouthpiece for You to speak through us? I pray Your blessing of every one of us, and ask, Lord God, that this exercise, or the simplicity of this exercise, would be built into and settled into our hearts, so that our lives can carry the fragrance of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.